A first encounter with the cult of the Virgin Mary can be nerve-shattering. In some places, she is revered with the same intense devotion which is normally reserved for God. Latin American cathedrals are warehouses of Mary statuary, with each figure adorned in costumes ranging from frilly high school prom dresses, white wedding gowns, house dresses, and widow's black frocks. She is the universal woman. She is the symbol of national pride. Each country has its own version of the Virgin. She adapts to every culture. Mexico's patron is Our Lady of Guadalupe. Our country is dedicated to the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, the belief that she was conceived without sin. For the sake of ecumenical sensitivity, the present pontiff has delayed officially honoring her with the title of co-redemptrix. But already, even in the regular liturgies of that church, she functions as the mediatrix to whom sinners plea for mercy. Apart from doctrinal concerns, this devotion generally lacks taste and has limited aesthetic value. Trapped in the midst of an army of Marian mannequins in the National Shrine in Washington, D.C., one is overcome with the monotheistic rage of an Elijah for whom the commandments meant that God cannot be found among the idols. Henry VIII let the spirit of Elijah loose, and his chancellor, Thomas Cromwell. Cathedrals and monasteries were dismantled of their heavenly treasures in earthen vessels. An earlier destruction in Wittenberg in the same century by Karlstadt and the fanatics brought Luther back from exile in the Wartburg. The translation of the Bible had to wait. What was left of the crucifixes and the representation of the saints and church tradition had to be preserved first. He was, after all, the pastor of the Marienkirche, the Church of St. Mary the Virgin. Rome had its horrors, but Protestant fanatics offered only a black abyss of a colorless religion without real incarnation and without sacraments. God is forever robbed of his humanity, and he is forever absent from our misery. They look for him in heaven, where we cannot find him, but they never think to look in Mary's womb and on the altar, where the deity is surely present. Early Christian churches had icons of the child Jesus and his mother on the walls of the apse behind the altar. The cross and the crucifixion signified that Jesus offers an everlasting atonement to the Father. The mother and the child meant the eternal God has become our brother. In this image, we see our human nature forever joined with the divine essence. God's sovereign majesty is now only accessible in that baby. Magi provide myrrh to anoint him as priest, gold to crown his mitre, and frankincense to offer prayers to God for us. Eve's first son took the life of a priest who offered acceptable sacrifices to God. The second Eve gave birth to a priest who sacrificed his life for the very brothers who took his life. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Incarnation is not only something that happened, mere historical event in the past, but it is the certainty that God is still present for us now only through Mary's Son. He who was born of the Virgin now gives us a new birth in baptism. Through her and by her, God established Jesus as the very foundation of our faith. Without him, we are not Christians. Incarnation and atonement form only one reality for God. Remove the Maria Virgo from the Incarnatus Esti Spiritus Sancto ex Maria Virgine, and the eternal God is forever simplistic spirit and was never sacrificed for us. There would be no resurrection of the flesh, and we would be without any hope of salvation. Philosophy speculates about God and leaves souls in distress. A natural knowledge of God takes us to the doors of divine magnificence, but leaves us in despair. A knowledge of God through our own experience is only a human ignorance reflecting on itself. The sure knowledge of God is found only in Jesus, in whom we see the Father and we have the Holy Spirit. And so we are compelled by the Catholic faith, without which one cannot be saved, to believe that this man who was born of Mary, who took our humanity, and that he took what we sinners are, he took that into God himself. The infinite creator, whose transcendence encompasses his creation, but which cannot be bound by his creation, appears as a finite man in whom all the fullness of the deity dwells. Through our baptism, we share in everything that belongs to Mary's Son. Her womb becomes heaven's throne, and in her arms, the expanse of heaven is found. In that child, the incompatibility of heaven and earth is overcome. The divine antagonism for humanity is now permanently resolved. Now, with good conscience, we can pray, "Thy will be done." That is, we pray that what God establishes in heaven, he will now accomplish here on earth. His birth allows angels to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." The one who searches the heavens finds nothing. He who looks into the manger finds everything. Our Sanctus, holy, holy is the Lord God of Sabaoth, is not sent out to the barriers of infinity, but they are sung to him who enters Jerusalem. The seraphim are now found at the cross, covering eyes and hands and feet at the greater mystery. The God who wears the flesh of the Virgin Mary to his crucifixion hides that flesh in bread. We are now in the heavenly Jerusalem, and we approach that altar crying out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." In this sacrament, incarnation becomes real for believers. We who are his body through baptism receive his body, so that with him God offers us up as acceptable sacrifices to himself, and the curse is removed. Christmases come and go. The sacrament remains. And in this sacrament, the God made flesh is found. The God made flesh is believed. The God made flesh is adored. The God made flesh is worshiped. Jesus, thou my sure foundation. Jesus, guard thou well my soul. Jesus, curb me in temptation. Jesus, be my goal. Jesus, earn for me God's favor. Jesus, let me never waver. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.